Hello and welcome to this edition of Fraser Coast Insights. Today we'll be interviewing Gary Jensen. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Luke.
How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Very good. Well, if you're ready, we'll get into the questions.
Certainly.
So, first, please, tell us about your business. Tell us a bit about what you do.
Well, I operate Green and Clean Team, and it's a cleaning business that does commercial mainly and also domestic type cleaning, and we service the Fraser Coast as the primary business. And I like to do other business stuff as well, so I keep on coming up with new ideas and hoping to try them out and things like that. So
yeah, so the cleaning business is obviously not the only thing you've ever done. What other sort of industries have you worked in previously?
Well, probably the very start was I was a farmer. I was a local, we considered local. The family settled here in the 1800s and had farm outside of Maryborough, and we've stayed here. I was educated in Maryborough, and then I worked on the farm for a little while, worked in a few other places, worked in industrial and agricultural spare parts, and decided that I had a brain that was a bit like a juice, and so I enrolled in university and got myself a degree in business and got interested in computers, and that led me to get into the public service. So I had a 20 year plus public service career, which during that time I also acquired a postgraduate qualification in management, and certainly you learned a lot about budgeting and how to deal with millions of dollars and particularly worry about it.
So that gave you a good foundation for the business?
It gave you certainly the discipline and a lot of ways of practicing good human resource management skills and learning how to work with people and achieving targets and all that stuff. I mean, governments are certainly, when you work for a government department, they're certainly governed by KPIs and all the other indicators. And you know, some people might think it's a load of rubbish, but it's certainly you need to have goalposts to know where you're going and probably know when you're going wrong, probably more importantly than when you're going right.
So how did you get started as far as Green and Clean goes in business in this way? How did you get started with that?
Well, I had the service stations, and you know, the honest answer is I had two service stations in Bundaberg and one in Maryborough, and I could operate the one in Maryborough quite easily. But when I took the two on in Bundaberg, I needed my wife to come and work for me. Then I sold the two in Bundaberg, and I couldn't sack her. And that was seriously as simple as it was. And I decided I needed something to do, and I thought the service industry would be good. There were certainly people would need cleaning and that type of stuff, and I thought we could have a fresh approach to it and a good offer.
Mm. So what is it that you enjoy most about your business?
I just think the challenge. The challenge of getting up every day and trying to actually provide the service for people. It's a good buzz when the staff come back and say, oh, that client was really, really happy with what we did. They were really pleased. And, you know, they go and tell their friends, which is really what we're all about, is trying to help serve people and feeling good about doing a good job for a fair price.
So along with all of that, you said you like the challenges of it. What have you found to be the most challenging aspect?
Probably the cash flow is the hardest bit. It's the start-up and you know, and to get paid for jobs that you do, that's probably the hardest bit. Believe it or not, you know, when you're an honest person and you just have an assumption that other people are honest, and unfortunately, I think everybody in business has been taken down. I had a contract with a building company who I thought was going to lead us to lots of work, and ended up they went bust and left me. I'm only one of the very, very small creditors, but there's certainly that they went bust owing almost $1 million. So, so what starts out exciting with some of those guys are thinking, well, how am I going to cope with all this work I've got for me, and then find out that they don't actually pay you at the end is very, very disheartening.
Yeah, that is very bitter when things like that
happen. That's exactly right. But I'm not the only one, Luke, so it's happened to, I think it's happened to most people.
So along with that, like you said, there's challenges and obviously the good points that are in there as well. But have you made any mistakes that you'd be willing to share for the benefit of our listeners?
Well, I think the mistakes mainly are sometimes relate to picking the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably, it's one of the things, but I have an assumption that everything's my fault, that the person comes and they present me with their resume, and I've either misjudged their character or I've misread something in their resume or it hasn't been right, so I've picked the wrong person for the job, and it's not their fault. So, sometimes you can be a bit too trusting of staff sometimes, and they're not up to the level of trust you put in. I guess that's disappointing, but yeah. And mistakes, I think sometimes there hasn't been any really drastic. I mean, I think everything is an opportunity to learn something. It's probably the best way to look at it. You know, so just if you look at it as an opportunity and saying, hey, well, no, I won't do that again.
Hmm. You made a really interesting statement there. You said, I take the viewpoint that everything's my fault. So could you expand upon that a little bit? Why do you see it that way?
Well, I think especially with staff, is that the person presented themselves to me. I've selected them, so it's not their fault. Either I haven't asked in-depth enough questions to determine whether they're the correct person for the job, or I haven't done enough research into their references to find out that they've had flaws in the past. Mm. Or the other options are that if something goes wrong on the job, either I haven't trained them to do the job properly, so that's not their fault, that's my fault, or I haven't instructed them correctly in what to do, so not their fault once again, it's always my fault. And believe it or not, staff react very, very well with that. If they know I'm not going to yell at them or be abusive towards them, if I'm just going to say, hey, we, the collective, we got this wrong, or I didn't do this, or if I'm not blaming them for something that they have no control over, people really respond about it. It's just, I keep on saying to people that I sit at this desk, I steer the ship, but I'm not the one out there doing the cleaning, well, I am sometimes, but that's only by mistake.
Yeah. But that's it, I guess if you deem that it's your fault or you've taken responsibility for it, then you can do something about it. If it's someone else's fault, it's not in your control.
That's right. And I think that's another real key point for anybody is that you really, really have to value your staff because none of us can do it all on our own. I mean, everything we do is like a team. My job, I see, is more of as a facilitator. I make sure that the staff have got the cleaning products ready. I make sure the staff have got everything that they need to do the job. Then they go and do it. If they need an extra mop head, make sure they got it. That's what I do. I don't have to actually go out and mop the floor, but I just have to make sure that they have the right tools to mop the floor.
So are there any, your greatest successes, are there any particular successes that you're proud of that you'd like to share?
I think the biggest thing was one of the first jobs we ever had to do was cleaning for the Scout Jamboree when the Australian Scout Jamboree was at the Merribee Showgrounds. There was 12,500 people living in the bush out there.
That was massive. I remember that.
It was massive. It was massive. We had 14 days to put it together. 14 days. We got the contract, or told we had the contract on the 17th of December and had to have staff on the ground trained with a uniform on the 31st of December. And if you take out 4 days for Christmas and New Year, I think we did very, very well. Yeah, considering that they had to have police checks, so I had to get their shirt sizes, get the shirt screen printed. Yeah. I had, once again, I had really some very strong local suppliers who helped do that and make sure that we had them trained and on the job.
Mm.
8 ton of toilet paper.
Wow.
8 ton of toilet paper. the figures are boggling. Mm. I think we used something like 80 litres of disinfectant. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, and I guess the key for us there, Luke, was that the result was that no one got sick from any disease that they could have caught by using a toilet or a shower facility. So we made sure that everything was sanitised correctly and that. So that was the big thing. Sometimes these projects, unless people are actually involved in it, I don't think they actually know what it takes to, you know, a bit like the duck on the pond, the little legs are going underneath to keep it all there and just try to appear like it's smooth sailing on the top. And I think we achieved that.
So the question is, if you had to start all over again, is there anything that you would do differently?
Probably start a lot earlier, yeah. I'm 62 year old, I won't live long enough to do everything I want, I don't think.
Good advice to anyone that's listening to jump in, get their feet.
Follow your dream. If you've got an idea, and seriously, have a go. You know, to register a business name, you can register it for $78 for 3 years. And to get a website address, you can buy it for $10 a year. You know, and it doesn't hurt to have it parked. To be honest, it's not going to cost you anything to maintain until you are ready to go. And I think the other thing is to research. Do a lot of research. I don't know what people used to do prior to Google or the internet, but you know, it's, you know, like if I'm trying to even learn how to clean a window, I can jump onto YouTube and there's a demonstration on window cleaning. And it enables me to use that to train the staff and things like that. So, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about the Fraser Coast. So why did you choose the Fraser Coast to be the base for your business?
I guess I hadn't lived here for... I spent most of my working life away from here, but as I was born here, I returned to the Fraser Coast in 2003 because spent the last years with my mum. And that was the major reason for coming back. But yeah, look, it's a great region. I mean, I know it very well. The interesting thing about it is that when you're one of the founding families of the area, people know you, and it's just a matter of, you know, because I'm known, I can walk into a business and people trust you, I can get credit, so that's pretty well one of the things about it is, you know, it's small enough, but it's big enough as well, and it's nice. I like the climate's great.
So what would be what you like the most about the Fraser Coast? And that can be to do with business or outside of that, but what do you think is the key draw card for this area?
Ooh, well, I think the climate is probably one of the biggest ones. It is really, because it is that mild climate. I mean, it's certainly... we don't have extremes of temperature either way, you know. Not that other centres do.
All right, well, finally, just some other notes about other businesses in the area. What are the qualities in local businesses that impress you the most?
Well, it has to be service, and it has to be the willingness to think outside the square and to look at, probably not with a jealous approach to there. You know, I think our thing should be not fighting over whose piece of pie is the biggest. You know, we should all be working together to grow the pie, to make sure that we, all businesses here in the Fraser Coast, have a better outcome by getting more business here. You know, we need to look truly at being Fraser Coast, because, you know, I'm based in Hervey Bay at the moment, but there are a lot of people in Hervey Bay that really don't look over Scrub Hill. They really do not think... They can't see the value in dealing with it. And some of the interesting figures that are actually on the Fraser Coast Opportunities website is that there are 2,500 people a day go from Hervey Bay to Maribyrnong to work, and 600 from Maribyrnong come to Hervey Bay. Wow. And I think people in Hervey Bay should start to think of those numbers. And then we need to think regionally as well. We need to think that there's a great hinterland out there that we can... Not that far away. People, you know, the commute to, say, even out to... You know, out to Mergen is not that far. People drive further than that in a city to go to work.
True.
It's really only taking an hour, and there's lots and lots of opportunities in those areas, and I think we need to start thinking outside of our little area. I mean, I know people in Hervey Bay that won't work in Erangan or Dundarrin because it's too far. I mean, it's just really funny.
Yeah.
I find it so strange.
And the final question is that I know we've touched on it a little bit before, but is there any advice that you have specifically for other businesses that are wanting to start up on the Fraser Coast?
Do your research. There are great tools around there, and I think that there are people like myself who who are more than willing to help people and mentor people if they really, really want it. I mean, it's not a competition, you know. If we can scratch each other's back, let's scratch each other back, other's back. I mean, and there's great tools around, and you just got to find them. A lot of the council, Fraser Coast Opportunities, you know, the state government development branch. Everybody's got a vested interest in seeing the area go ahead, and we just have to. And there's lots of people sitting behind their desk or their feet under the desk, waiting for people to knock on their door and with an idea, and they're willing to help. Mm-hmm. Yes, they won't do it for you, but they will certainly point you in the right direction and give you the tools. It's about having the tools, I think, Lucas, and trying to get the right tools is they're there. Just ask. People will show you.
Thank you. Well, that's some very good insight. I'm sure our listeners will enjoy. And I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Luke.
Well, that's all for this edition of Fraser Coast Insights. Don't forget to subscribe in the sidebar, and I look forward to seeing you next time.